Witness and transformation of life to a new way of thinking and acting is about meaningful relationships. Today's text is the longest narrative that Jesus is involved in, found in the Gospels. Reading and understanding it is like standing on a railroad track. You ever done this? The rails, you can see they're how far apart they are, but when you look down the track, the rails come together, and it's not quite as clear. This morning, I'd like to invite us to stand where we're at, and we can see the wideness of the tracks and begin the journey down where it begins to narrow so we can see what might be coming at us from that point as well. We first of all are introduced to an unimaginable relationship for Jesus' time when he meets the woman at the well. Jewish men were not to initiate a conversation with a Samaritan woman, and women were for household work, not for relationships for meaningful conversations, especially with strange men, either in Jewish or Samaritan cultures. In addition, this text opens to us a reality that Samaritans and Jews did not have a great liking for each other. They had a prejudice against each other that grew out of the question of the proper place of worship. Imagine that. The Jews believed the Jerusalem temple was the location for worship, and the Samaritans believed the location was Mount Gerizim. So as Jesus was talking with this woman, he was bucking the norms that led to prejudices that he believed were not right. Our first learning in the gospel is for all nations and all genders. How slowly we do learn such an inclusive understanding of Christ's saving work. But we can learn if we pay attention to the teacher. I remember beginning as a district executive. And the district I was in, there was one woman who filled a pulpit as a pastor. Now, it might have been naivety on my part, but I hope it was some of the learnings that I had discovered along the way. I never did placement around men and women. The Church of the Brethren, and you're going to go through this process, churches build a profile. Pastors build a profile. And so when I went to a congregation, I'd take profiles representing gifts and abilities and experiences and values that seemed close to the congregation that I was serving in helping to find a pastor. I never once talked about a male nor a female. Every once in a while, someone would say, "Whoa, we can't have a woman in our pulpit." And that gave me the opportunity to ask the question, why? And they'd tell me their story, and they'd always link it to Scripture. And I'd say, why? And then I would go on to say, we'll go where you're willing to go in looking for a pastor, but remember, both men, both women are gifted and able. And since 1958, the Church of the Brethren wisely made the decision that women could be ordained into ministry. God won't let stand what is not right. And granted, sometimes it doesn't come fast enough for most of us who can get ahead of and understand where a particular issue of value stands. But it is for sure that the change in culture, the transformation, comes both out of witness and out of a willingness to buck the norms. Jesus did that. He asked the woman for a drink. She naturally pushed back. She resisted because she knew the culture. She could not believe he, a man, was asking her for water. Jesus did not back off, but rather indicated to her that if she knew the gift of God and the one who was asking for the drink, she could have asked him for a drink, and he would have given her a drink of living water. The relationship at this point was one that brought amazement. Who and why is he saying this to me? Must have been a thought of the woman. Jesus wanted to bring her as a woman and her marginalized people closer to the grace and the mercy of God. Jesus is walking the talk, and she is struggling to hear the meaning in the talk. As you read Scripture, as I read Scripture, do we think about issues such as immigration and any other issue that devalues human life? And do we hear the words and the grace and the mercy of God speaking through Jesus, speaking through his witness, and the witness of the disciples, and the witnesses of others who are in Scripture? Do we come to understand that Jesus was modeling being a global citizen, even in his day, where all nations are worthy of salvation, where all people, no matter their status in life, no matter their gender, no matter what they were thinking in that moment, all people are worthy of salvation. Now, the woman doesn't fully understand what Jesus is offering. The relationship has not gone that deeply yet. But she sees something kind of magical in the idea of living water. And as might be the case for all of us, we get an idea that moves us a step further or closer to what might be truth, but isn't there yet. She's using this magical thinking. She's tired of the daily chore of going for water. And as Kate pointed out, will I have enough water in the morning? Will I have enough water in the evening to sustain my thirst and sustain my living? So she asked him for that water. Please give it to me, she might have said. I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water, was her thought. Sometimes it's like that, isn't it? Our first exposure to the gospel story leads us to think of an easier life without pain or hardship. We come to Jesus and life will be like living in a Camelot existence, majestic and beautiful. And I'm the first to admit that living with Jesus has a majestic quality and a beauty to it. But it doesn't mean that everything will be hunky-dory. It doesn't mean that everything will come out the way I want it to or the way others want it to. But remember, Jesus' walk with us is the one that begins the transformation of our hearts and our minds into who he wants us to be. Is that not a part of our identity? Letting Jesus redesign, reshape, reform, transform our lives into who he wants us to be. Are we willing? Jesus wants to take this woman a step deeper into the relationship, moving her toward the transformation that he wants for her life. And so he says, well, go get your husband. Jesus must have shocked her. How did he know? Her response is, you are right in saying you have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. Now here, this gets a little bit tricky. What do you assume? Don't have to answer this, but what do you assume is the reason this woman has had five husbands? The author, Gail R. O'Day, in writing the commentary and reflection section of this scriptural passage in the New Interpreter's Bible, offers a caution. It is tempting to believe the woman has lived a loose life with the many husbands. But she also could have been faced with the fact of Levite law, which ordered that if her first husband died, then the successive brothers were to marry her and take care of her. And just possibly, the text doesn't tell us, just possibly the fifth brother refused. Now, the point here is that Jesus didn't get wrapped up in her moral, immoral, her cultural choice of life. He wasn't interested in that at all. He was interested in her. He was interested in her well-being. He was interested in being a soul healer for her life. The woman believes that Jesus is a prophet. What else could she think? He knows me. He offers me living water. What is she to think? And so she goes on to say, well, our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that where people must worship is Jerusalem. Now she thinks she probably has him. It is a big issue. It is much greater than we could even anticipate sitting here in this modern day. But the place of worship was extremely important. But Jesus brings her to God's grace and mercy. He goes on to say it is not a mountain or temple that will be the true location of worship. Jesus is the new grace and offers a new tradition with new meaning. The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Does it happen to you? Is your breath taken from you? Do you face a dizzying confusion when a new truth leads to a deeper, new thought? Transformation is a person's faith being uprooted, the faith they have at that moment, and established thinking at that moment, and attitude and prejudice and bias at that moment, and rerooted in the faith soil of new truth. This can be both exciting and for some unsettling and frightening. Will we build a relationship with Jesus and one another that allows us to go deeper in our faith, that allows us the risky business of uprooting where we stand now to be rooted in the truth soil of who Jesus is and what Jesus wants for us? The woman is wanting to believe. As you read the scripture, you feel the intensity of the conversation, and you feel that she's changing her understanding as the conversation unfolds. She claims she is aware of a Messiah who is called Christ that is coming. Is she ready for the next words? Are we ready for the next words? I am He, the one who is speaking to you. This text is an incredible story. The woman is left speechless. She forgets the water that's so important to her family. The jug still sits there at the well. And she runs as fast as she can run back to the other relationship of her life, her people. I can imagine when she began the witness, it was a bit timid, a bit hesitant. Her body was shaking. She was filled to overwhelming with new thoughts and new understandings. And so she blurted out, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done." He cannot be the Messiah, can he? So they decided to accept her invitation. She must have had an established life relationship enough trust that her invitation was, "Come and see, is it possible this is the Messiah?" And so they did go, and they did listen, and they did understand, and they too came to believe. They were willing, even for the other townspeople who were not courageous enough to go meet him, to have him come, provide him food and lodging and hospitality, that he might speak with the people of this town. And the scripture says, many came to believe. But the true transformation goes beyond the witness. It says in scripture, it is no longer what she said that they believe, but that they have heard and seen for themselves who Jesus is, and they know that this is truly the Savior of the world, the Savior of all nations, the Savior of all generations. Each Sunday, we come here to see in each of us Jesus and to hear the good news. The Savior of the nations meets us right here in Vienna, the Oakton Church of the Brethren, and by his living spirit wants to lead us to deeper faith, to continue the transformation of our thoughts, to feed our understandings, and to answer our yet unanswered questions. Could this be the Messiah? Are you willing to be a witness to Jesus? The transformation begins with a meaningful relationship. Jesus and the woman developed it. Jesus and the town people developed it. Can Jesus and the Oakton Church of the Brethren people develop it so that all people that you come in contact with, by the way you act, by the words you speak, by the things you stand up for, will know that Jesus is Savior of all people.